Warning. The following broadcast you're about to listen to is filled to the brim with explicit adult language and content. Don't like it? Don't listen to it. Don't complain about it. Just ignore it. If you like it or don't mind it, then listen up and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Thursday, March 4th, 2021. This is episode 80, and it's been a long, long, long fucking time coming to get here. So, according to everything I'm looking at here, my last episode, episode 79, was published September 25th of 2020. So it's October, November, December. So it's been like 6 months. That's a little ridiculous. I'm sorry, for starters, for anybody who actually listens and cares. That being said, if you do actually listen and do actually give a shit, then you'll be well aware of all the reasons and stuff why, or at least at the time, what was going on. So, but yeah, before we get into all of the fun bits and everything else, we'll catch up on the not-so-fun bits as far as where the fuck I've been, why the fuck it took so long, why the fuck am I back now, fuck, fuck, fuckity fuck. Ah, it's good to swear on the internet. Anywho, so you might recall if you've listened to the previous episodes and stuff, I was definitely going through some heavy personal shit in the, mental health department, and, well, quite frankly, still am. it's not a, you know, alright, I've had a few months to rest and think on it, and I feel, you know, totally fine or whatever else. It's not how it works in many cases of mental health. So, that being said, I am doing better because I have things going on that are going to help me out with getting better and stuff. So, I guess what it kind of boils down to is I'm just going to go unfiltered. If you've listened to this show before, you know I go unfiltered in general as far as both language and content. I try to avoid being offensive for the sake of just being offensive. There is a difference in my mind, but I would rather just tell the truth right up front. So let's just do this, get this over with, rip off this Band-Aid. We'll get into the fun stuff after that. So I've been recently diagnosed as bipolar 2 with rapid cycling mixed episodes. So it's not the super spicy bipolar that everybody thinks of, but it's still not much fun all the same, particularly with the whole rapid cycling mixed episodes thing. I could basically just within minutes, hours, days, it's all sorts of different random things. I could just kind of bounce around at will. So, yeah, that kind of sucks. And it's a little bit on the unstable side. So, I am taking meds for it, which seems to be helping to some degree. And but we'll see. Time will tell. I've not been on them long enough to have reached full efficiency yet. But we'll see what happens with that. So, overall, I'm just trying to, get by. Life itself isn't terrible. It's just my brain wants me to think it is. So that's never any fun. That being said, I kind of talked about this before on the previous episode. All the shit that went down in 2020, the shit that's already gone down in 2021 as far as everything going on in the real world is concerned, all that shit still really messes with my head, very much so. So that doesn't help. It's not about isolation or anything like that. I'm antisocial at best most of the time. So, you know, I don't mind the isolation. It's the amount of idiocy going on in the world that is just, it's just too much. But I'm not going to get up on my soapbox and stuff and go on that. Being unfiltered is one thing. Going off on a random bullshitty political hoopla tangent is a totally different one. And it's just irrelevant right now. So we're not going to do that. If it does become relevant, then we'll do that. Because once again, unfiltered. Yeah, I mean, beyond that, you know, things have been pretty good, all things considered. You know, I've had some personal tragedies and stuff, though, too, in the past couple months. You know, once again, we're just gonna rip off the Band-Aid and do the honest thing here. A few months back, my wife and I, we've had troubles with trying to conceive, and finally, we've not necessarily had problems with conceiving, had problems with it sticking around more than like 24 hours or a couple days at best before it just crashes and burns. We finally got one to stick, but unfortunately that did not last all that long either. I think it was about 5-6 weeks in when they were like, oops, doesn't look like that's going to keep going. And in a couple weeks, that was that. She had to deal with the whole surgery thing, and then that went awry for the longest time. It was supposed to be like a do the thing, you'll be healed in, you know, a couple days, and then after a couple weeks, you'll just be able to go back to life like it was. That did not happen. At all. It was actually pretty hellish I think it was a little over a month's time. So it's definitely been rough dealing with that. And it is something that I do think about pretty frequently, unfortunately, which doesn't help with the whole mental health thing, but you know, it is what it is. The main reason I'm sharing this is just so that people, A, can understand a little bit about why I've been gone as long as I have. You know, it was not necessarily my intention when I first did the last episode saying, you know, I'm going to be taking a break, I don't know when I'm going to come back, so on and so forth, was to provide myself, you know, some leeway that, you know, whether it was a couple weeks or a couple months, you know, I would be trying to return at some point. But I had many false starts, namely caused by a combination of getting ready to do the thing and then having just mental episodes just kind of crashing and burning with that situation, on top of external stressors, situations changing, and then, you know, personal tragedies. So it's been a pretty heavy 6 months since this last episode. You know, I'm doing good, all things considered. Shit's shitty though. You know, shit was shitty, and it still lingers. Things still hurt. Which on that note too, just physical pain-wise, I'm becoming an old man and it sucks. All I can say is if you're listening to this and you have been dealing with any really heavy shit yourself, talk to somebody, you know. Don't try to do it on your own. A lot of people do, including myself. I was stubborn as hell for a long time. And then finally decided to seek help, and I'm glad I did when I did, because I don't know how I would have dealt with, all the shit that happened right as I was trying to get help. You know, it was, interesting timing, that's for sure. So, but yeah, if you're dealing with anything heavy yourself, you know, or just even if there's nothing specific going on in your life, but you just got those heavy feelings, you know, a lot of people try to write off depression and mental illness as just a thing, you know, that, and a lot of people get confused too. Hell, I had a conversation, with my, dad even last night, and got a lot of pushback, which he did end up apologizing for later. But, so I'm not trying to throw him under the bus or anything here, but it's just the fact of the matter. Had a conversation with him, and talking about the, you know, the diagnosis and talking about a whole lot of other things that were on my mind and, you know, about the world's events and so on and so forth. And we got pretty heated just because of, you know, ideological differences and stuff. And normally we can have a pretty good cerebral conversation despite our differences. But in this case, both of us were just at it. And it just kind of triggered me and got me all riled up. And, you know, I was just trying to explain to him that I, you know, that as far as my brain is concerned, everything is still shitty. And to him, he's looking around, he's like, things don't look that bad to me. And it's like, yeah, you don't understand. That's not my point. You know, the mental illness thing, it's about what's going on in your head, and it's not always under your control. You know, things can be great. You know, he even asked me, because I told him 2020 was a complete shithole, and he even asked me, he's like, well, you got married, you know, to Krista, so, you know, does that mean the whole year is just garbage, you know, and stuff, even though that great thing happened to you? And it's like, dude, you can't just pick even the best positive thing that could possibly happen. You can't just pick that and ignore all the shit that happened. That's not how it works, particularly with mental health problems. So, but anywho, once again, I don't want to throw them under the bus. I'm just using that as an example that, you know, a lot of people, even internally themselves who are dealing with problems, will write it off as, oh, well, you know, things aren't that bad. I need to pull myself up by my bootstraps and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. So, if you're dealing with heavy shit, be it actual physical real things that you can experience and that anybody would feel terrible about, or even if your life is good, but for some reason on the inside, you're just sitting there going, I don't want to do this anymore. This is bullshit. You know, you probably have something going on that's beyond your control, and there's no shame in that. You know, if anything, there's maybe some shame if you don't do anything about it, because it can lead to things getting worse for you and those that you love. So, yeah, fucking do something about it, you know. Fuck it, do it live. So, but anywho, we're going to step off of all of that, you know, tragedy and hoopla. And let's talk about, you know, other things going on and stuff as far as hobbying goes. While I've been still extremely busy being that essential frontline worker and all, I basically never seem to stop working, it feels like. I do get days off, and it's not like I work from, you know, sunrise to sunset, well, whatever, or sundown to sunrise in the case of third shift. I'm not working 24/7. It just feels like it with the way things are laid out, with my work schedule and stuff. So unlike a lot of hobbyists who had this big renaissance during, the pandemic of, well, I'm unemployed or I'm, you know, working from home and laying low. So I have a lot of extra free time. So I've painted, you know, 5 billion points worth of shit. Not me, says I. I have not painted much. I have, however, built a fuck ton of shit. I have been going through my backlog and just plowing through it. Is there still a lot? Oh, you fucking bet there's still a lot. Am I going to keep buying more to add to that backlog? For fuck's sake, yes, I am. But, yeah. It is what it is. I'm going to keep building my plastic crack collection regardless of whether it's built or not. But I have been buckling down on myself and stuff to be like, all right, I haven't finished building this stuff. So, you know, I'm going to put off buying the next things I want to get until I build a certain amount of stuff, basically. Now, if stuff is pre-orderable, special discount, special bundle, etc., you know, limited time stuff, like for Christmas, Krista got me the Necron Eradication Legion. There was some debate on whether or not I should even get that, because she already had plans for other stuff for me for Christmas, which I did get some pretty good stuff, I won't lie. I'm actually currently sitting in a very nice, comfy gaming chair that I'm noticing, since I haven't recorded in forever, it's actually making the whole recording thing much easier, too. It's kind of cool. And also I have a really nice pair of headphones to go with it all, so all I gotta do now is just get that, that recording deck thingy-mabobber. I don't remember the goddamn name of it now. It's been so long since I've researched it, but there's a device that will help me filter out all of the background noise while I'm recording, so I don't have to do a bunch of post-processing, because the post-processing does tend to lower the quality of the audio itself, but it gets rid of all the noise. But yeah, it's basically like an amplifier as well as a way to filter shit out and blah, you know, whatever. But yeah, I got all sorts of nice, cool stuff that's being used right now for this podcast. And then, like I said, I did get that Eradication Legion. Partially because of the fact that it was wicked hella cheaper than buying the model separately. B, it had models in it that are like a dick and a half to try and buy separately because of supply and demand's all fucked up. And then lastly was the fact that I made a deal with her and myself, not to build everything that I owned, but to, I picked out, I had some pretty big sizable box sets. Hell, I still had part of Indomitus that wasn't built yet. And I said, I'm going to knock these fuckers out. And admittedly, I didn't quite finish all of it, but I finished a lot of it. And I think I did a few other side things too in that time, in a pretty short time frame, overall, but I was dealing with a bunch of other shit at the same time once again. So, it was more difficult than, I was thinking it was going to be to get that all done, but yeah, overall, like I said, I've built a fuck ton of stuff. My desk, I need to actually clean my desk up, is just a mass collection of a shit ton of models all built. I'm gonna try and get some new shelves and stuff in the house so that I can organize and keep that shit all separated on shelves instead of just piled up on my desk. I don't want shit to get damaged. So, but yeah, so, beyond that, hobbying wise, I've actually managed to finally play 9th edition. Admittedly not full games. But I have played a little bit of 9th edition. It actually was for me, teaching Krista how to finally play 40K. She's been building up an orc force for a while, but or rather amassing it, similar to my backlog of plastic crack. But she's been working on it here or there. I've been helping her with it here or there. Finally had enough stuff to like just kind of sit down and kind of, you know, poke through the rules. Starting off slow, cutting out certain excess bits and whatnot, and just kind of focusing on more of the core mechanics. And then just, you know, we played a couple games. Each time we play a new game, add on a little bit more of the stuff, you know. With our first game, it was very basic, just one squad versus one squad. We didn't worry about force organization. Just roughly tried to get the same amount of points, so that way it would, you know, at least be somewhat fair-ish, and kind of go from there. And then in, like, our second matchup, we had added in a weird boy so she could use some psychic powers shit, you know, kind of try that whole thing out. Had a few more units and models, We actually then ran also too with like warlord traits and relics. We have not touched on stratagems yet. And also too, we've just been playing kill 'em all type of mission style, where it's just whoever's left standing wins. We have not been playing with objectives, so on and so forth, which obviously changes the entire mechanics of the game. You know, when you just go for straight up, you know, kill or be killed, certain armies don't do as well with that as others, typically speaking. And the, you know, the having the mission structures will kind of balance things out a little bit differently. But I just didn't want to overwhelm her with too much shit at once. Not that she's dumb. I want to strongly emphasize this, actually. She's actually really fucking intelligent. But she just gets anxious about, you know, things. And part of it's, well, truth be told, she's spent a lot of time in life being told that she's not good at things, despite being, you know, hyper intelligent and master's degree and all that other shit. She's had lots of people put her down over the years. Just been surrounded by the wrong people is what it boils down to. People who didn't appreciate her intelligence and, you know, took her for granted and so on and so forth. So, whereas me, I'm going to encourage the shit out of that shit. I'm going to encourage her to play as many games as she possibly fucking can. Because, A, I know she could do it. But, B, we were talking this morning a little bit about it. She's actually really enjoying it. I mean, she's played AOS before, and she, you know, does enjoy that. But I was a little concerned that 40K, because it is a more complicated rule set, you know, it's the whole sci-fi thing versus fantasy thing and stuff, that she just wouldn't be as into it, because it's more work, basically. Not, but she's, once again, not that she's incapable of it, but it's still technically more work. She's been having a ball with it, though, so, you know, we're gonna keep that rolling and, kind of go from there. So, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've got a little bit of Necrons that we've used there. The last matchup, I finally used my my Adeptus Sororitas. I did end up losing in that case, barely though. It was, I think by the time it ended, she had two or three models left. It was pretty small though. It was a 500 point engagement, and I was admittedly a little shy of the 500 points myself. So whereas hers was, I think it was still a little bit short of it, but much closer. I want to say she was within 10 points of 500, and I was within like 40 or 50 points of 500. I just don't own enough sister stuff. Although I am planning to get some more Battle Sisters here in the not-too-distant future, hopefully. But, once again, holding off because of backlog stuff. So, but, yeah, that's what I've had going on as far as hobby stuff goes. We're going to go ahead and take a break, because we haven't done, as a note, because we haven't done an episode in a long time, and there's just been so much shit and whatnot to cover, we're just going to kind of ease our way into it. I'm not going to go deep diving on a whole bunch of shit. We're going to talk about some of the new release stuff that's coming up a little bit, you know, a little bit about Pariah Nexus specifically. And then we'll wrap the show up. So the actual meat and potatoes is going to be more like, you know, a small helping of potatoes and maybe a little bag of, like, you know, sliced ham, like the shit that you just buy in a little sealed baggie hanging in the meat section, you know, the cheap ass shit, maybe some bologna. You know, but it's not going to be the hardcore stuff. We're not going to spend like an hour deep diving tactics and shit, because, like I said, it's been way too fucking long. So we're going to make it simpler. Future episodes, though, we're going to come back at it. We're going to come back at it like before, if not harder. I've got some plans as far as upgrading the podcast. Once again, getting some new equipment. You know, I'm hoping soon to finally be able to set up a way to like Skype or, you know, or something like that with people, Zoom, and record it or whatever. You know, so that way I can actually have conversations with people as opposed to just me yammering away at the internet and talk about other people's opinions besides just my own. Because believe it or not, my opinion isn't the only one that matters. I know, shocking. I'm just as shocked to hear me say that as well. But anywho, let's go ahead and take a break. After the break, we'll get back into it. So catch you guys on the flip side. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. In case you've forgotten what you were listening to, that is the name of this show. So, as I mentioned before the break, we're once again not going to go into some super nitty-gritty details and stuff like that. We're just going to cover a few interesting topics going on in the Warhammer world, and then we'll wrap this episode up. Hopefully the next episode we'll get into some more intense stuff. Which, as a note, as far as when is the next episode going to be, I don't fucking know. I really don't. My hope is to do this far more regularly. You know, I'm trying to get back into the swing of things here. But because I am trying to get back into it, I don't exactly have a set plan as far as scheduling goes. It kind of worked out this week, because next week is my, 1 year wedding anniversary to my lovely wife. I have several days off next weekend, for her and I to enjoy some time together and stuff, more to the point, because of that, I have to work all this coming weekend, which is a shame, cause we'll have all the kids and stuff, but, in turn, I actually had 2 days off in a row midweek, which is, very much unusual for me. So, but in turn, on top of that, I had some extra time today, and that's why we're doing this today. That's not to say that I'm going to wait until the next time I have 2 days off in a row. No, fuck that. That's not a choice. This does very extremely rarely just happens. I don't have like infinite time off or anything. So it's not like I could just take the day off every week to make sure I have time to do this. I'm going to have to work to fit it into my schedule, which has been more difficult going back to the mental health issues, just because I've been so scatterbrained and so distracted by all that shit. But now that I'm trying to get better, part of that too is buckling down on hobby projects, buckling down on doing the podcast, so on and so forth. So, my hope at minimum bare minimum is once a month, but I personally don't even want to do it that minimally. I would rather do at bare minimum bi-weekly. I would like to get back to weekly. Sorry, I'm suddenly sniffly. I was kind of random, actually. I haven't, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you might, you know, be aware of the fact that I quite frequently have like sinus related issues and stuff, and I've had a lot of colds and other illnesses. Oddly enough, since this whole pandemic thing started, I've actually been relatively healthy in the cold department because I don't interact with anybody, and I interact with people, but I keep my distance and stuff, and I wear a mask all the time when I'm out in public. So yeah, I'm not getting germs. Right now, I think I'm just stuffy because I just came in from the cold briefly there. So, but it's just very strong and random. Anyway, we're getting off topic and just talking about my nose and my sinus problems. And that's just weird and gross. But it's not really weird because it's normal bodily function. All right, done. Anyway, I would like to at minimum do this bi-weekly. My goal is to get back to weekly with a set day of the week, even too. The most likely candidates, just throwing this out here, once again, this isn't set in stone by any stretch, but most likely you will see episodes either on Mondays or Thursdays are going to be the most likely candidates, as those 2 days are regularly 2 days that are typically unaffected by work, kids, etc. Although Mondays are going to be the most likely thing, because a lot of Thursdays lately I've been working the mid shifts, which kind of precludes having time after work. So not that I couldn't record with, you know, once Krista gets home from work or anything, but, you know, I'd rather spend time with her than sit here recording the whole time when she's home. So, but yeah, so Mondays are going to be most likely, at minimum, you know, when I'm recording, even if it doesn't get released until later on in the week, if I don't have time for editing or stuff. But, you know, back when I first started this, I would record, edit, post all in one day. But now that I've gotten a little more complex with the way I do the recording, my work schedule's different, etc., that might not necessarily always be the case. You know, I may just be recording on one day and then actually posting it later in the week. But my goal then, if I end up having to do that, is to have consistency still. That, well, just for, you know, for the argument sake here, I record on Monday and then I edit on Wednesday and post on Thursday or something. I don't know. You know, like, again, just throwing shit out there, seeing what sticks. But we'll have to see how it all pans out. So this is a little test fire run, so to speak, of getting back into recording and editing and everything else. But my goal is to, once again, do this more regularly again, and try to record, edit, and post same day, or same days in the event that I split it up. But we'll see what happens. So, anyway, let's get back into it. Once again, not going to cover a whole lot of specifics. There's just a few items in particular. I was going to say a few items in specific. So, in particular, that I wanted to cover, namely, for starters, the Cursed City. I don't know if any of you listening watched the last Warhammer preview, which was totally focused on Age of Sigmar stuff, including the new Warhammer Quest Cursed City. I cannot wait for this shit to drop. The models look awesome. A lot of people keep bitching about the zombies. I will admit that I wish it wasn't every single zombie that had the fucking tombstones strapped to its back and stuff, but I really like the way that they did the designs and stuff for it. I think it's a really cool concept. I just feel like they went a little overboard doing it for every model. But beyond that, as a whole, this box set, the models just look gorgeous. The game looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm definitely personally looking forward to it. But, you know, with everything we saw at that preview, they showed off, you know, a bunch more Lumineth shit. They showed off a new hero for Stormcast Eternals, but also a new hero for Nighthaunt. The fact that we're getting new heroes for, you know, the original two factions for the starter set for this edition, plus all the Broken Realms shit going on right now, I think we all know what's coming. There's going to be an AOS 3.0. That's almost a guarantee. I'd be willing to bet money on it, except for the fact that then I'll probably be wrong and I'll lose a bunch of money. So I'm not going to bet money on it, but I would. I just have bad luck. Here's what it boils down to. If I don't bet money on it, it's going to happen. We're going to have AOS 3.0 probably this summer. If I bet money on it, you will never see a third version of AOS. Most likely Games Workshop will go out of business and everything else, and it's all because of my bad luck. And then I would feel really bad for everybody. So that was affected by me always getting fucked over by the universe. So I'm only half joking here. So, you know, those new heroes, the new Lumineth shit, the Broken Realms, you know, I'm not going to go into the full thing on it, but I think it's safe assumption AOS 3.0 is somewhere around the corner. I might do an episode here soon where I do a little bit of wish listing as far as what I'd like to see out of 3.0. So, but we're not going to do that right now. And then we've obviously also got the upcoming Drukhari Codex. So, starting the year off here, we already had the Death Guard Codex drop. Originally, the Death Guard Codex was supposed to be the last one of 2020. So the 2021 was supposed to start off with, you know, a Xenos Dex, but that's not what happened, unfortunately. So, let's see here. Yeah, so it's going to start pre-ordering on the 20th of March. So we still got a few weeks. 2 weeks from this Saturday is when it'll be pre-orderable. I would assume that it'll come out the week after that, like typically they do. Hopefully I can get my hands on that book. It'll be cool to see what they're doing, because so far, I haven't looked through the supplementary codexes like Blood Angels and Dark Angels and shit. But Codex Necron, Codex Space Marine, Codex Codex Death Guard. all three of these codexes are fucking insane. It's very clear that GW has made 9th edition with intent. You know, some people might bitch about the rules or whatever, and for the most part, those are all, you know, old cheesy beardy type dudes that just, you know, can't help themselves but bitch about change as a whole. But, you know, for me personally, I've been into 40K since the very end of 2nd edition. Are there things I would love to see come back because of the amount of detail and life and stuff that they added to the game? Sure. But did those things also make the game extra stupidly complicated and quite frequently just made the rule set so, you know, esoteric that it was hard to have fun with the game sometimes? Hell, sometimes you'd have models that just completely wiped the whole fucking board by themselves because of weird fucking rules and shit. It wasn't perfect. And I don't care what anybody says, it wasn't perfect. I'm not saying 9th edition's perfect either. You know, every edition's got its flaws. But I do think that as time goes on, they keep refining and polishing, you know, after each iteration. They take out the shit that doesn't work, put new shit in, see what works then, and then, you know, kind of work their way through that. So, if the current codexes we have out for 9th edition are anything to go by, highly looking forward to more. I really would like a 9th edition Orc Codex for Krista, actually, because that's one thing I did notice when I ran, like, the Necrons up against her Orcs. It's not even close to a fair fight. It's even at the same points levels. She's just getting fucking annihilated. And part of that's because Necrons are tough and they got crazy equipment, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Necrons in 8th edition were considered pretty shit. Throughout almost the entirety of 8th edition, they were really looked down upon. It wasn't until later on in the edition and stuff where they made some changes that they actually started doing okay. But they really, realistically, never were, you know, the whiz-bang winner of the year. 9th edition hits, and it's like, holy fuck, okay, now these guys are coming into their own. So, hopefully we'll see that with the other releases and stuff, too. So, beyond that, I forgot about this. The whole Magic the Gathering thing, I'm not even going to really talk about it too much because I haven't seen much on it, but it just sounds really fucking weird to me. On the one hand, I'm excited to see that Games Workshop is, you know, a lot of people get pissed that they feel like they're watering down the franchises by putting out all these licensed games and toys and all this other shit. They're diversifying. They're making money. And that money goes back into, you can very clearly see money going back into model design, model production. We're getting more new stuff than ever because of GW making more money. They're putting more product out. So, once again, seems like a silly thing to bitch about to me. That being said, I do want to cover something that I am going to bitch about, And that is the whole Pariah Nexus situation. Okay, so A, I really want a Chronomancer. If there's anybody listening out there who's planning to get Pariah Nexus for funsies and is like, man, I really like that Caleb dude. I'm just going to mail him a Chronomancer. By all means, contact me. I will tell you how to get it to me. But I'm not expecting that to actually happen. The Pariah Nexus box set, for those who have not seen it, it contains, I think, 5 flayed ones, and then the Necron Chronomancer. And then on the Space Marine side, you've got this new Primaris Captain with a heavy bolt rifle. And then the, the heavy intercessor. I could not think of it for some reason. My brain was just like, the thing with the stuff. And then there's like a bunch of terrain, and then the kill team rules, and cause it's like a new starter kit stuff. It's $160 for 12 models. I mean, yeah, there's all the terrain pieces, but even those are super small, limited, just tiny little things that are meant for that kill team board. You could totally use them in your regular games and stuff, but they're not big. You know, they're not nice big terrain pieces and stuff. They're just little, basically battlefield debris sized pieces, at least from what I've seen. You know, if you're not interested in playing kill team and you just want early access to models, it's not a great deal. You know, like we've had, Indominus, take Indominus, for example, when you actually break down how many models you got for the price, and how many of those were new models and exclusive for a time and so on and so forth, there's a lot of value in that box. And most of the boxes that GW puts out are at least have some modicum of value to them. Pariah Nexus, not so much. Now, mind you, there have been rumors that the Heavy Intercessors box is going to come out very soon, actually, very shortly after Pariah Nexus, but it's going to be $55 for 5 models. So, the value of Pariah Nexus isn't so bad then. But, keep in mind, it also depends on what you actually want out of the box. Do I want all 12 models? For the most part, yes. Honestly, I really fucking want the Chronomancer. I quite a bit want the Heavy Intercessors. I'm lesser interested in the Captain, and honestly, the Flayed ones, I'm just not all that interested in. Not that I think that they're terrible models, or that they're, you know, terrible for in-game purposes and stuff. It's just not what I'm looking for. But I wouldn't be opposed to having them. Pain and Piety, or what? I don't remember the name of the box off the top of my head. There's supposed to be a new starter box for 40K coming out that's got Sisters and Drukhari. I'd like to get my hands on that box when that launches. And then, depending on the value, once again. And then Cursed City, goddamn, do I ever want that fucking box when that drops. So I've already got, you know, bigger things throughout the year that I'm already looking forward to. Plus, I would like to continue to work on the armies I already have, and continue to expand my collection beyond that. So dropping, you know, $160 on 12 models for my collection, 12 infantry models, it's just not a great idea. It's not a great deal. That Pain and Piety box, or whatever the fuck it's called, once again, I'm going to have to look it up now because it's going to drive me fucking bonkers. Pain and Piety box. Yes, Piety and Pain. That's the other way around. Not Pain and Piety. Piety and Pain. Pain and Panic from Hercules. Anywho. Yeah, you know, that will be dependent on the actual cost when that comes out, too. That could totally be shit. Those new sisters, I don't remember the name of them, but the little, you know, Dread Knights, but not Dread Knights things, the little suits. A lot of people shit on them. I think they're cool. I'm looking forward to getting them. So there's just so much new shit coming out. And, you know, that Pryon Nexus box set, unless you're going to be playing a lot of fucking Kill Team and really want that terrain and so on and so forth, I would just personally recommend waiting. Especially since it sounds like, at least in the case of the Heavy Intercessors, those are right around the corner, relatively speaking. You know, we're not talking like 6 months out. It sounds like, rumors-wise, we're talking a few weeks, a month, maybe. So I would assume that hopefully that means that the characters and stuff, too, will be coming out soon. But overall, if you want to break it down, we can assume, once again, there's rumors that that box set is, or not the box set, excuse me, the Heavy Intercessor box is going to be 55 when it comes out. You figure the average character models are 35 apiece. That brings you up to $125. So it's really going to be dependent on how much five flayed ones cost. Looking at the models, I can't envision that that box set's going to be actually all that expensive. But keep in mind, too, discounts, so on and so forth. And it's also dependent on, do you want all that stuff up front? You know, I really, once again, I have a hierarchy of how I want the models and stuff. But even just for argument's sake here, let's just say the flayed ones and the Heavy Intercessors both turn out to be $55 a piece. I cannot imagine that flayed ones box being $55. I think that would be ridiculous. In fact, I think the Heavy Intercessor box, the idea that that's $55 is pretty fucking atrocious as well. So, we'll see. But yeah, in total, based on the estimate, you're looking at $180. So there is some savings value there. But, you know, they're very, very, very tiny additions to your armies that are probably going to be available separately soon. So then you can piecemeal that shit out anyways. And yeah, one could say, well, long term, I save $20 that way. Okay, I get that. But if you're not going to use half the shit in particular, then why are you buying it at all? And even if you are going to use both halves, unless you're, you know, willing to just drop money to get all of those models at the same time, which many people are, it's just not really worth it. It's really, once again, going to depend on on those actual final prices for all of those models. Once again, I used that $55 rumor on the Heavy Intercessors. I did $35 a piece on the characters because they're usually somewhere in that ballpark. But we'll see. The other thing is, too, admittedly, a lot of starter set type things and whatnot, because of them being limited edition, limited print runs and stuff, they tend to be a little bit higher price for the second hand market, whereas individual models don't. Although I still haven't gotten my hands on a Lord of Virulence yet. And I've talked to a few different people in the retail sector of Warhammer, and just hobby stuff in general. And, it sounds like that model's been a bitch and a half, to get in stock. Although I haven't checked for several weeks at this point now. But anyway, long story short, Pryon Nexus, I don't think it's the worst box set that they've ever put out. Once you consider the cost of the Heavy Intercessors separately based on rumors. That being said, the fact that those are even $55 separately, once again by rumors, is fucking ridiculous. That is stupid. I'm sorry. As much as I'm all like, GW make money, GW make more product, I'm okay with GW make money. You know, I'm fine with that most of the time. I am well aware that the hobby's expensive, so I'm okay with that most of the time. This is too much. Quite frankly, $55 for five models that admittedly, in many people's cases, you know, you ask a bunch of people, you know, tactically speaking and list building wise, the heavy intercessors have trouble having a role because the codex has too many choices in it. There's just, you're spoiled for choice to the point where it's kind of hard to come up with any one thing to work with. So, but yeah, so the heavy intercessors do kind of lose out in those regards, at least a lot of people I've talked to personally. Not very many of them think that the heavy intercessors, and this is, mind you, this is pre Pariah Nexus, pre $55 box for five heavy intercessors, etc. This is just back when, like, the codex dropped and talking to people, you know, talking tactics and list building with people. The heavy intercessors are just considered kind of, yeah, they're cool looking models and they are capable of doing some stuff in a fight, but you've got so many other choices that you can spend your money and points on, and get more efficiency for the most part. So, but yeah, that's just my two cents. And once again, from several other people I've talked to, that's kind of their feelings on it too. So, being $55 for a box of models that's considered not super useful, they're cool looking, but they're not super useful. So yeah, but yeah, honestly, that was about all I wanted to cover today. Once again, I'm hoping once we get into upcoming and new episodes that I will have a little bit more in the realm of actually talking tactics and gameplay and shit like that. So, but I think we're going to call that a call. Thank you guys for listening. As always, I really appreciate you guys. Once again, I'm sorry that it took so long for me to get back into this, but I'm hoping to keep going. If you want to help out, you can always hit up the Patreon, follow me on Facebook, Twitter, etc., etc. You know, spread the word, let your friends know, you know, especially if you know anybody who you enjoyed the podcast, but, you know, has been disappointed that there hasn't been any new content, let them know. There is new content, and hopefully more will be on the way. I understand if you're hesitant to believe me because of the fact that it's been quite some time, but my hope is to get back into it. So, anyway, thank you guys for listening. I will catch you on the next episode. This is Caleb Myers signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, month, or whatever length of time it is before we speak again.